Hey,
That's
holiday movie club.
Holiday movie club.
We'll send you five holiday movies at just 5 cents a DVD.
If you
only need to purchase three at regular retail price in the next 2 years.
Depends on the movies.
This is everybody. I'm going to turn on the thing.
Man, the thing already?
I think I already had the thing turned on, actually. So, hey, everybody, now they can hear us and not the music.
How about the human torch?
I'm glad we didn't say anything horrible there, because we're actually on.
Peanut soul.
But Steve wasn't here, so of course we didn't say anything horrible.
Good. I'd hate to think you guys were saying horrible things without me.
No. How could that even happen?
Not sure.
We're all sunshine and roses when you're not around.
Also not true.
I like to think I'm the fertilizer that the roses grow from.
We like to think that too. No.
Accurate.
Well, as the poet once said, every rose has its thorn and yada, yada, yada.
Every rose
every
has
night
its
has
thorn?
Its dawn.
Yeah.
And every cowboy sings a sad, sad song.
That was Poison, right? Every rose has its thorn?
Yes, it was.
Yes. Okay. I believe it was the bard who once said, "She's my cherry pie."
Yeah, that's right. Brett, whoever he was.
Ooh, do Whitesnake.
Michaels.
Whitesnake.
Yeah, Michaels. It's a forgettable last name, like Michaels.
It's Cousin Brett.
Yeah.
Cousin
Brett. From Poison.
Love that, Cousin Brett.
He was all covered in hair, right? He was like hair from head to toe.
You that take was... that back about Cousin Brett.
That was Cousin It. I'm sorry.
Yes.
All right, I am now pouring a stone Hokoveza into it.
I want to try that.
I had the stone milk stout for dinner tonight.
The milk stout is good this year.
I hope you had something besides that for dinner, Jason.
I had pizza for my beverage.
Last year's milk stout I thought was too coffee heavy, and this year seems like it's a lot less so. I'm enjoying it.
I think so too, but I also got no taste of peppers from my Cocoveza, so
you
I
also
don't
got
know.
No kick from champagne, but that's a different story.
Would you say that the milk stout brought all the boys to the yard?
Oh.
Let's go back to Poison references.
Oh, or taking it, one of those.
She's my pumpkin pie. I don't know.
All right, it's still peppery in the glass, but not quite so peppery.
Not quite so much. And cinnamony. No. Cinnamony. Well,
I think you get more nose if you have an open glass to sort of dip your beak into as you drink.
When Dan came out here to visit, he left a nice present of chocolate behind. One of the chocolates.
Oh, yeah. Did you get the plunger out to fix that?
Yeah, well. And one of the chocolates, was a cinnamon, like a Mexican cinnamon chocolate thing, and it actually beer reminded me of it very much. Good
those
flavor.
Mexican chocolates are hardest to flush, I find.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little bits of corn that are anyway. Let's.
That's the one Mexican flavor they didn't put in this beer.
No.
Yeah, there's a bit more implied buggery than your average Christmas film.
Yeah,
I think.
Have you seen Rudolph?
I don't know what type of Christmas films you've been watching, Steve.
We will get to
not the good ones. Apparently,
that's what Christmas buggery is all about, Charlie Brown.
Yes, those candy canes aren't just there.
I have to admit, for the first time in the history of Old Movie Club, as I watched The Lion in Winter, I thought to myself, "Oh, geez, I really should have researched this more before agreeing to have it on the podcast." But you know, we all saw it, so there it is. We will talk about it, and I imagine that other people have more to say about it than I do, and that'll be great. But first, I believe we will begin chronologically with Miracle on 4th Street. That's what I would like to do. Philip Michaels is our...
You just took away 30 streets.
Our old...
it's a miracle.
Miracle on 30th Street. Much better than Miracle on 34th Street, I'll tell you that.
When you made me watch a long... Well, we'll get there. I despised every minute of it, but we'll get there.
Well, anyhow, Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, a movie selected by a man who hates Christmas movies.
Yes.
You should explain why you selected The Lion in Winter.
Well, we'll get there. That'll be the last 5 minutes of the episode because we're going to run out of time.
I'm glad we're having this dress rehearsal.
I thought this was going to be as long as The Lion in Winter. Come on.
It may well be at this rate.
You're all hurting my heart so much. Oh, did you hear about that crime that happened recently where that guy who was in the chimney got smoked to death?
I love that.
Like that happened in California.
time to off rails was approximately 2 minutes
to a lion in winter.
We did not even get off. We did not finish taxiing, and we are in a ditch.
Wasn't that in Gremlins?
This is not about Gremlins.
No. Yes. Yeah. It was Phoebe Cates' dad.
Also,
wasn't
not
it?
A good Christmas movie. No. But I digress.
like the Lion in Winter, not a good Christmas movie. Anyway,
no, they're
the same now.
Christmas.
That's right.
You just don't feed Richard the Lionheart after midnight.
No, don't feed Peter O'Toole after midnight, because when the king's off his ass, well, anyway.
You feed...
Don't feed me!
Yeah, just shout it.
I'm not hungry!
Anyway, Phil,
that
yes, you were saying.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, anyhow...
Yeah, there's a lot of bad isms floating around this world, but one of the worst is commercialism. Also, pedophilia's not so good either.
That was more of a Woody Allen kind of.
19 years before Charlie Brown Christmas, which also decried capitalism, or not capitalism, communism, yeah. Sure. There are lots of isms out there, but I mean commercialism.
Charlie Brown, worst thing in the world is when the state controls the means of production.
Why do you think he was the Red Baron?
Before we, you know, get all man in the gray flannel suit about Santa Claus here, I should probably wrap up the movie.
Don't understand that reference, but okay.
Yeah, okay.
Go with it.
Well,
go with
look it up. Read a book.
Good news. Yeah. Gene Lockhart also in that.
Next, you need to watch Gene Lockhart's in that flannel book? Suit.
One of those guys is Jack Albertson, who you might recognize from Chico and the Man.
Mm-hmm. and other
many things, but he was the man. And then he died.
He's not Chico.
Grandpa goes to Washington, you know.
Yeah. Lots of stuff. Post office mail sorter next to Lou, uncredited.
Yeah, well, it's true. But if you look, you're like, hey, it's that guy. It's the same guy, but he's much younger.
Yeah. So
not yet the man. Really more of a boy.
More the boy. Chico and the boy.
That's another Lou movie and the entirely.
Boy. Lou and the boy, indeed.
Is it red or is it gray flannel?
You got to believe,
it's David.
Gray flannel.
You got to believe.
Is he pink down to his underwear? I don't know. What do I care? I'm going to bed with John Payne tonight, she says.
Bring the cane.
So is this movie in black and white or many shades of gray?
24
first
shades
I thought
of
said,
gray.
She said, bring the pain, and that made a lot of sense. And then John I realized Payne. What she said, and I went, oh my God.
No. So I'm done.
Editing
talking
Mark. Boop. Cut here.
Books.
Believe a cane also features prominently in Human Centipede, by the way.
Did anyone see the remake in the 1990s that it was, I think, Richard Attenborough?
Yeah.
And some it's kid.
Only parts of it. It's Mara Wilson.
Mara Wilson.
Yeah.
Sure.
No.
Matilda.
From Twitter.
And Twitter.
Really?
Just I have not seen it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Why? That was in the 90s, so that was in my... That's kid stuff. I'm not going to see that movie, and that probably served me well in this instance.
Probably. There's also a colorized version. Don't watch that either.
That's also only like an hour long, right? It's like a TV movie.
The 90s one will destroy your faith in humanity.
Hmm. If you still have it.
If you had some, yeah.
Just moments ago, this has crossed my desk. There was a 1973 version, a TV movie of Miracle on 34th Street.
Version.
There's also one from the 50s.
I would like to read
this
cast to you. Sebastian Cabot is Kris Kringle. Nope. Jane Alexander is in the Maureen O'Hara role. I assume David Hartman of Good Morning America is John Payne. Shellhammer is played by Jim Baucus. I must see this movie. Bosley is the judge.
Oh, you'll be seeing that alone.
Conrad Janis is in the movie. Mork's dad.
And David Doyle is Mr. Macy.
It is exactly what you're thinking.
Oh my God,
you
must
will
see this
love
movie.
It.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's awful, but you will love it.
Nope.
Whereas Dylan McDermott is in the 1994 version. No, thank you.
There's a 55, a 59, a 73, all before the 94. Wow, that is a lot of versions of this movie.
Hey, the 55 version has Hans Conried as Mr. Shellhammer.
And just Teresa saying, Wright. Wow.
It's a durable story.
Except no substitutes for the black and
Teresa
white
Wright is Doris
version.
Walker, a previous member of the old movie club cast list.
Man, they exciting. Get along.
McDonald Carey is Fred Gailey.
Now we're just reading cast lists. You
know? Yeah.
We've reached the IMDb portion of the show.
You're listening to IMDb transcription.
Anything to avoid talking about The Lion in Winter, huh, guys?
I'm ready.
Decor. And Natalie Wood has one of the best dirty looks in the business. Like, she just gives people a look, and it's almost
as if
that's
what Robert Wagner said.
And then he drowned her.
Ooh, no. Oh, Jesus.
But,
Christmas!
But, okay. You know, I want to let the record show I was not the one who brought up Robert Wagner. I just took it to
I was just making an oblique reference to it, and then you literally drove us into libel and slander.
When they met, it was murder.
Jason can always edit it out if he's that nervous.
Yeah, I think
I don't
so.
Think
just
Robert Wagner
just for your segue.
Robert Wagner is in the chat room right now weeping.
RJ, no. For your segue, Christopher Walken was also in the original Broadway cast of Lion in Winter.
No segues well as are allowed from what was just said.
Yes, because Jason's just like, delete. Sorry.
Pooks.
No. Anyway, it's a fine film. I'm looking.
Timestamp noted. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Robert Shaw played a cab driver.
In this movie, or is this
in
just
this,
another David random
movie.
Trivia?
The only cab I remember is when they're transporting Sam to
Bellevue.
Bellevue, so maybe that was him. Mm.
But it's supposedly the Robert Shaw.
Are you going to Bellevue now?
You're going to need a bigger cab.
Yeah. They want me to make a fish movie.
I also haven't seen this in a long time, and I realized that with that haircut and those eyes, he looks freakishly like my partner in theater out here.
Which he are we talking about?
Hopkins.
That's good knowledge.
Hopkins.
Okay, because Timothy
good,
Dalton looks
Timothy
freakishly
Dalton.
Like one of the guys on the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, Timothy
reading.
Dalton's hair and
he looks like
and
an elf.
Beard is untenable in this
Ian
movie.
Summerholder?
He looks like
John
Lightens.
I can kind of see
older.
It. I can kind of see
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Well,
yes,
John
right?
Castle looks like McNulty from The Wire.
He also looks like a little bit like Dirk Benedict to me. Every time I kept looking at him.
They were going to do that anyway. I mean, in real life, that didn't happen because Richard was betrothed. In real life, Richard was betrothed to her. He ran off and inexplicably married someone else. And the reason it's inexplicable is because for a British king of the period, he had remarkably few, as in just one, illegitimate children and no legal issue. So, like, why he took an active interest in marrying was God's private mystery. But, you know, John and Geoffrey both moved on to marry other people. Geoffrey married particularly well and amassed more French land that way, to be honest. And Elise went off and married just honestly, she married twice and they're just random dudes. Like, this is basically just like a nightmare period in her life, and then it ends.
Yeah, one of the things I love doing with this film is to watch it back-to-back with Beckett, which is a much better play and a much better movie.
Yep.
But the beauty of it is that you have Peter O'Toole as Henry II in that as well. So he's playing him as a young man. It's only 4 years difference between the movies, but he's playing young Henry there. But he's got Richard Burton to play against. And again, it's the same kind of thing where you have these two actors just going at each other.
Yeah.
Except everything else in that movie is it's a good plot and it's a good support structure for them. We dress up and have dagger fights every Christmas Eve. It's great.
Do you now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And
dagger fights isn't a euphemism for something, is it?
No.
Yeah. But, you know, I've talked about, like, and again, I love this. I'm also fascinated by the Plantagenets as a whole. So, you know, this feeds into that. It's a weird feedback loop type thing. But I understand that not everybody is going to be like, oh, this is fun watching how the Angevin kings build and maintain a dynasty and it gets fictionalized and Eleanor the Aquitaine. Oh.
And then
you know,
one foggy Christmas Eve. No.
You mentioned Beckett, and that is an interesting comparison because he gets a little shouty in that at times.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's
a far
controlled.
More, it's a controlled, and the times when he gets shouty, it's earned. Whereas here, he starts at 10.
All I could think of every time I watch this now, I always think of the SCTV sketch, "The Man Who Would Be King of the Popes," where it's Peter O'Toole is the man who would be king. I want to be king. Richard Burton as the Pope. I want to be Pope. And Richard Harris as the man who wants to be king of the popes. I want to be king of the popes. And that's it, because it's again
that's a
the
really
escalation.
Good Richard Harris, by the way.
Thank you. I've practiced. Right. I mean, this did not actually happen. There was no Christmas court in 1183.
They did not talk like this in 1183.
They did in 1185. They actually had one.
Right. And in 82.
This is not it. Yeah.
And this is not it. This is, however, the best episode of My Three Sons ever. And one of the things that I love about Beckett that this wants and does not have, it doesn't have anyone to really root for. You know, in Beckett, you have, well, at the end, here's the spoiler horn, Beckett dies, tragically.
What?
I know, what the hell? And I mean, Henry is pretty awful through that, too. And so there's the tragedy of him dying, and this doesn't have anybody to care for. This doesn't have anybody trying to change. I mean, a good play, the protagonist should change and evolve from page one to the end. Nobody changes in this. They just kind of get together and snipe and go home and then try to kill each other. Whereas Beckett, you actually have, I mean, Henry learns from that. And Beckett, of course, changes by not breathing at the end.
He has a spiritual apophysis.
Yeah. Whereas this just doesn't have that. And
you've convinced me. Next Christmas, we'll watch Beckett.
Okay. I'm there. One of the things that I think, you know, like I said, comparing Stuart and O'Toole, you know, okay, Stuart's too avuncular, and O'Toole, as much as I love him, is way too shouty. The original stage production, aside from Christopher Walken as the King of France, had Robert Preston as Henry. And, you know, you think of the Music Man, but then you think, well, maybe that would have been interesting. That would have been a little in between the two. And there would have been a little more shading to the portrayal.
I could have conquered Europe, all of it, but I had Shapoopy in my life.
Well, you got trouble, my friend. You got trouble right here in the Aquitaine.
That's called Vexen.
What if one of the sons had been played by John Payne?
He would be smooth with the ladies and possibly the King of France.
But yeah, I mean, I think the movie was cast pretty much because he had played Henry in Beckett. So it was like, ooh, sort of sequel. Yay.
This as a spectrum of Peter O'Toole insanity that starts in Lawrence of Arabia, goes through this, and then ends up with The Ruling Class, I think is probably the epitome of the craziness. Because if you've never seen that movie, is seriously weird.
Oh, that is weird.
Oh, the stuntman.
Stuntman's pretty weird, too, but The Ruling Class to me is just the most bizarre movie.
The Ruling Class might have been before this, but only barely.
No, it's 72, I want to say.
Really?
It's a few years later, I think. It's a terrible movie.
It's
really
awful.
Weird.
It's awful.
Oh, we watched that.
You're right. 1972.
Yeah.
Also based on a play.
I watched that with my mom. Don't watch that with your mom.
Just don't watch it.
Just also don't watch it. Yes.
Yeah.
Stick with Lawrence of Arabia, maybe Beckett and The Lion in Winter, then skip to My Favorite Year and you're done.
Yeah, he went through a fallow period in the mid-70s, got clean, and then he started doing TV and TV movies, and that's what really sort of rejuvenated him. He's in a terrific movie called Guilty Conscience by the creators of Columbo with Blythe Danner.
I'll take your word for it.
IMDb for 400, please, Alex. I think this is the part of the show.
If you would like to see
David
other Anthony Hopkins
David.
Movies, go to your local library. Where?
Wow, that was not the dynamic I expected, but you know, it actually kind of makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
And we're back to buggery.
I didn't even talk about it. What do you mean we're back to it?
Well, we started off with a little... I mentioned that I don't find this movie very Christmassy because I rarely run across implied buggery in my Yuletide entertainments.
I'm pretty sure there are people who would vigorously dispute.
I will have you know that in Miracle on 34th Street, John Payne and Santa not only share an apartment but share a bedroom.
They do.
That's an interesting point, but they do have individual twin beds. So.
He asks him about the whiskers, which is very personal.
Cold air makes it all grow.
They cut the scene from the movie.
No, that's not how it works.
John Payne is seen cuddling Santa's suit and sobbing at the end.
And in the end, they just put Kris Kringle on a boat and send him back up the river.
It smells like frankincense.
Wow. You stink, you know that. You're a stinker and you stink.
Yeah, I was watching with the 14-year-old, and it gets to the I know, he knows I know, you know I know. And he's like, when is this stopping? Why does he keep saying that? Stop saying that.
I love that line so much.
It's rigidly logical.
We're a very knowledgeable family.
If he just ended it with the old, you know, we're a very knowledgeable family, you know, like then, yeah. Then we would have all agreed it's a comedy and then we could have gone home.
Oh, don't you think that's just a little over the top?
They did cut the pie fight.
You're now confusing this with the Great Race.
Yes. You're good, Richard, you.
I used to ride my bicycle through these halls, then I grew up, got drunk, and fell off. Then there's a resounding silence from the other people who are like, no, we did not grow up watching that one either.
No.
Our parents had cable, so we got to watch cool stuff.
And we didn't have cable.
We didn't have cable.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
we had Channel 44 in Tampa Bay, which showed everything.
Oh, wow.
It was like all old movies.
Channel 2 and Channel 40.
Yeah. Mm.
There you go.
Yeah, we had 2 and 44. Ha-ha.
Yeah, we got
on TV one year, 44. Which was one cable channel, and we liked it.
I think Sundays on Channel 44, like, it started with a Shirley Temple movie, then an Abbott and Costello movie, then it would be a double feature, usually something that was themed, so you might have two beach party movies, or you might have the Dr. Goldfoot movies, or just something random, or two Lewis and Martin movies. Lewis and Martin, it's Martin and Lewis.
Right.
I'll talk to Steve and Phil later about the Padres' new uniforms because I'm confused by them. But at least there's a brown. There's a brown.
I haven't seen them yet.
No, they didn't change their thing. Yeah, I've got opinions, but I do love the Friday brown. Friday brown is good.
The camo uniforms are terrible, but yeah.
Well, Brown was like a Pam Grier movie, right?
They got the brown that they wear on Fridays, and they got the crazy Taco Bell hat that they're bringing.
That
back.
That was when Charles Schultz tried to urbanize Charlie Brown, Friday Brown. Yeah, it was the black exploitation period of the Peanuts.
Pigpen was the sidekick.
That's what Arbor Day is all about, Friday Brown.
All right, I curse you again, Phil.
You turd.
I've brought my favorite line of the movie. You jerk.